How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 12, Dr. Chuck Missler, Chapter 12, Page 1, The Gnostics and the Alexandrian Codices, Unbound Manuscripts. There are multitudes of New Testament fragments, but there are few complete manuscripts. Papyri and even parchments do not withstand the brutality of time without loss. However, there are three codices which have been preserved through the ages, nearly complete New Testament manuscripts, from as early as the 4th century. Unfortunately, their great age does not necessarily make them the most reliable documents. Sometimes materials can last, because they haven't been used. They've been set aside while the best manuscripts were read every day, and worn out. These three manuscripts are ancient, but they are not very good, and that has been the source of a lot of confusion and controversy regarding the correct Greek rendering of the New Testament. Codex Alexandrinus. According to tradition, Cyril Usar, Patriarch of Constantinople, and former Patriarch of Alexandria, gave this ancient codex as a gift to King Charles I of England. It has since been moved to the British Museum. It is a highly important, nearly complete Greek Bible, from the 5th century. How We Got Our Bible, Codex Sinaiticus. About 200 years later, around the early 1800s, a German scholar named Constantin von Tischendorf discovered the Codex Sinaiticus in St. Catherine's Monastery, at the traditional Mount Sinai. This manuscript, dated about AD 350, 4th century, is one of two oldest complete manuscripts of the Greek New Testament. Codex Vaticanus. This manuscript has been in the Vatican Library in Rome since at least 1481, but was not made available to scholars until the 19th century. It was dated slightly earlier, AD 325, than Codex Sinaiticus, and is regarded by many as one of the most reliable copies of the Greek New Testament. These texts are therefore the oldest, most complete texts we now have of the New Testament. At the same time, they are missing certain verses and passages, and contain a number of other deviations from the Greek texts that Jerome used to translate the New Testament portion of the Latin Vulgate, AD 382-405, and the Byzantine Greek manuscripts that were passed along into the Middle Ages. Generally speaking, it is wisest to use the oldest manuscripts because we assume that the oldest complete Greek manuscripts contain the material with the fewest errors, the ones that are word for word closest to what the apostles originally wrote. In the case of these codices, however, that appears not to be the case. The Gnostics and the Alexandrian Codices. We must remember that one of Satan's strategies has been to create doubt about the Word of God. From the beginning in the garden, he hooked Eve with, "Yea, hath God said," as promised in 2 Peter 2:1-3. By AD 55 the twisting of God's Word had already begun. Greek philosophies and concepts were infiltrating the early Christians' ranks, and certain individuals started disparaging the existing writings of both the Old and New Testaments. Mr. How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 12, Page 2. The Gnostics. Alexandria in Egypt was one of the major centers of Greek thought. The library at Alexandria was renowned for its size and dedication to housing the great classic Greek works. Alexandria also appears to be the city of origin for heretical groups called the Gnostics. The word Gnostic comes from the Greek word for knowledge, gnosis. The Gnostics professed themselves to be wise, but became fools. They saw their knowledge as a secret, and special source of information, but they embraced philosophies that contradicted scripture. For instance, they saw the physical, material world as evil while the spiritual was considered good. The Gnostics taught that Jesus Christ was not God in the flesh. Jesus must instead have been a phantom, an apparition with only the appearance of physical presence. They also disparaged existing apostolic writings and mixed the revelation of God with contradictory Greek philosophies. How we got our Bible. Gnosticism did not include just one set of believers holding a unified set of doctrines. Instead, it presented a strange mix of groups espousing what we might call New Age philosophy with Greek ideas stirred in, wrapped in a facade of Christianity. This movement didn't take long to sprout up and was gaining momentum even before John died. The first epistle of John rebuts its false ideas in several places, for instance, 1 John 1:1-2 and 4:2-3. At their headquarters in Alexandria, the Gnostics would expurgate the scriptures, delete passages, and mutilate other verses or passages. The second century church father Irenaeus taught extensively against the Gnostics. In his work Against Heresies, he wrote, "Since, therefore, they have been deserted by the paternal love, and puffed up by Satan, being brought over to the doctrine of Simon Magus, they have apostatized in their opinions from him, who is God, and imagine that they have themselves discovered more than the apostles, by finding out another God, and maintain that the apostles preached the gospel still somewhat under the influence of Jewish opinions, but that they themselves are purer in doctrine, and more intelligent, than the apostles. Wherefore also Martian and his followers have betaken themselves to mutilating the scriptures, not acknowledging some books at all, and curtailing the gospel according to Luke, and the epistles of Paul. They assert that these are alone authentic, which they have themselves thus shortened, but all the rest, inflated with the false name of knowledge, do certainly recognize the scriptures, but they pervert the interpretations, as I have shown in the first book." The Gnostics and the Alexandrian Codices. The three Codices, Alexandrinus, Vaticanus, and Sinaiticus, are called the Alexandrian Codices, Codex A, Codex B, and Codex Aleph, respectively, and there is reason to regard them all as corrupt. It is true that they are very old and complete New Testament manuscripts, but they are all low-quality documents that were poorly transcribed, and they likely survived the destruction of the ages due to not being used. Mr. How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 12, Page 3. That is the view of John William Burgeon, 1813-1888, an Oxford Divinity Professor, Vicar of St. Mary's Church in Oxford, and eventual Dean of Chichester. Burgeon traveled across the world to examine the Alexandrian Codices in depth. The son of a British merchant, Burgeon had been born in Smyria, Turkey, and studied the Greek classics as a youth. He spent the last three decades of his life researching the Greek texts related to the New Testament. He traveled to the Vatican and examined Codex B firsthand. He did the same with the Sinaiticus manuscript, and he determined that these two oldest and best manuscripts were, in fact, horrible transcriptions. Burgeon rails against Vaticanus, saying, "How we got our Bible. It is undeniable that for the last quarter of a century, it has become the fashion to demand for the readings of Codex B something very like absolute deference. The grounds for this superstitious sentiment, for really I can describe it in no way more likely, I profess myself unable to discover. Codex becomes to us without a history, without recommendation of any kind, except that of its antiquity. It bears traces of careless transcription on every page. The mistakes which the original transcriber made are of perpetual recurrence. The Vaticanus text omits words, and half verses, and sometimes several verses. These omissions may be willful, due to a Gnostic view, or they may be the result of something else. Bergen blames the errors on ascendancy, that is, the weariness and dullness of a yawning copyist who isn't paying attention to what he's doing. Bergen continues, in the Gospels alone, Codex believes out words, or whole clauses, no less than 1,491 times, accounted for by the proximity of a like or similar ending. On the other hand, I can testify to the fact that this Codex B is disfigured throughout with repetitions. The Gnostics and the Alexandrian Codices scribe is often found to have not only written the same words twice over, but to have failed whenever he did so to take any notice with his pen of what he had done. The original Tischendorf did find the Sinaiticus Codex in the great library of St. Catherine's Monastery, but he rescued it in a burn bin, where it was being readied to warm the room on a cold February. It had been thrown away likely because of its poor quality. First, the penmanship is bad. Second, Codex Aleph has the same problem as Codex B. Words, and even whole sentences are repeated, or clauses are left out because they have the same endings as another clause just written. This homoteleutio an error takes place no less than 115 times in the Sinaiticus New Testament. Note, homoteleutio an means the use of similar sound endings to words, suffices, phrases, or sentences. Yet, it became the fashion in the 1800s to admire the Alexandrian codices, because they were very old manuscripts, and written in the Alexandrian style. Before these manuscripts came into popularity, translations of the Bible depended on the Byzantium text, which had developed into the Textus Receptus, or the received text. Missler, How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 12, Page 4. The Textus Receptus. At the end of the 3rd century, Lucian of Antioch compiled the Greek text to become the primary standard throughout the Byzantine world. At that time, the capital of the world was in Byzantium, not Rome. From the 6th through the 14th century, the majority of New Testament texts were produced in Byzantium, and were in Greek, not Latin. The Latin version of the Bible, the Vulgate, was translated from the early Greek texts as well as the Masoretic text, and it is therefore highly regarded. How We Got Our Bible. While Jerome translated the Vulgate, the Latin version, he was able to take advantage of early texts we certainly no longer have at our disposal. The early English Bible translators, like Tyndale, drew upon the Vulgate even while working to translate the Bible from the available Greek and Hebrew texts. Erasmus of Rotterdam produced what became the Textus Receptus. By the time the King James was translated in the early 17th century, the translators had access to the Latin Vulgate, the Septuagint, the Textus Receptus, the Masoretic text, and the Tyndale Bible. After all this, in the 19th century, certain textual critics argued that the Alexandrian codices provided an older and preferable Greek text. But we are getting ahead of ourselves. Before we continue with the controversy over which the Greek text is best, let's take a moment and overview the history of the English Bible. End of chapter 12.